Yeah. Thank you, Larry. You know, sometimes introductions like that they're kind of like perfume. They smell good, but you wouldn't want to swallow any of it. And Larry and I do have let's just say we have a strange and wonderful relationship. He's strange and I'm wonderful. But I always enjoy being with him. No, it's always a pleasure to be here, and I'm always honored and humbled when he calls me and says, "Hey, would you come down here and speak for us on our Wednesday series?" I was always thrilled to come and be with you. I feel like we have lots of connections in so many ways with this church and the Center Street Church and relatives and friends from both places, and we appreciate you very much, and I appreciate Larry. What are you afraid of? You know, probably some of you think, well, I'm not afraid of anything, you know. But most people have what we call a phobia. Now, phobia is defined as an irrational fear of something. And most of us have one of those, if not more than one, that we have to deal with and cope with. Among the top 10 phobias in the world, and these will not surprise most of you, among the top 10 phobias in the world, according to some people, are, for example, snakes. How many of you have a phobia of snakes? Well, there's two or three of you do. And darkness, dogs, dentists. Yeah, boy. We got any dentists in the audience? Any dentist here? You know, oh, you're afraid of him, aren't you? I don't blame you. You know. But surprisingly, the ones I've just mentioned did not make the most recent top 10 phobias in America. Here are the top 10 phobias in America in the most recent poll that I was able to acquire. Number one, spiders. We got some spider phobias here. I imagine that. My wife she loves spiders. She can't wait to tell me about them when they show up, usually with a scream and a thrown shoe. Public speaking. You know, social engagements is a major phobia, and some of you have that, no doubt, and I know a lot of people that do. Flying. Inescapable situations. I'm not sure exactly how they define that, but that's number four. Number five was confined spaces. Most of us know the technical term for that. We call it claustrophobia. And I'm sort of that way. I don't like real tight places myself. Heights. Some people are afraid of heights. And I would probably be in that category. And here's number seven was kind of surprising to me. And yet when I think about it, it is really a phobia that I have. Number seven was, are you ready? Vomit. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know you don't want that visual, do you? But I tell you what, you know, I can deal with a lot of things, but you know, if you're going to vomit around me, just get ready for me to get right with you, and we'll both go at it. Number eight was cancer. Number nine, thunderstorms. Number 10, death. Now, those are the top 10 that have recently been issued, except here is the newest and latest American phobia, and it's called nomophobia. Does anybody know what nomophobia stands for or means? Well, you will after I tell you. Here's the newest American phobia. Nomophobia is defined as being without your cell phone or out of phone service. You're laughing because you have that phobia, don't you? You just show up without your phone right now and you go into a panic, especially your teenagers or others. You know, we don't think of the Apostle Paul necessarily as being a person that had any fears. And yet, Paul did have fears. And he had every reason to be afraid. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul describes some of those reasons that I think we would justify him being afraid. 5 times, he says, that he was whipped. 3 times he was beaten. 1 time he was stoned. He was in constant danger from bandits and false brothers. Sir, surely those things would be justification to have some fear at times in your life. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes, I came to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. In other words, I was scared to death when I was among you. And you can understand why when you begin to research the city of Corinth, where Paul writes this letter. Corinth was a godless culture. It was a culture of actually of many gods, I guess you would say. Maybe that wouldn't be godless. It had a lot of gods. Gods on every corner and temples on the mountains overlooking it to the gods. And when Paul arrived there, you have to understand the circumstances in which he arrived. As you look at the context, he was already worn out. He was already exhausted from persecution and running for his life. And Paul needed some encouragement. Well, Corinth was not the place you would pick, probably, to go get some encouragement after some of the situations that Paul had gone through. For example, Luke sort of tells us some of Paul's up and downs in Acts chapter 17 and verse 8, and chapter 18, rather. For example, he describes how in Thessalonica, Paul was run out of town. And then he goes to Berea, and there the crowds are stirred up against him. And then when he gets to Athens, he's sneered at and mocked, and few people believed him. And so now he goes to Corinth. And when he gets there, things seem to go from bad to worse. Many of the Jews there opposed him. They became abusive to him. And so Paul quickly became discouraged and thought, you know what? I'm going to quit this preaching game. This is just too much. This is overwhelming. Everywhere I go, they want to kill me. They want to beat me up. They want to reject me. I'm just tired of all of this. In fact, the Bible says he resorted to making tents. Tents to support himself, fortunately. But you see, God didn't need a tent maker. What God needed was a preacher. A preacher to boldly proclaim Jesus to a lost and dying world. And so that's when God came to Paul in a vision, and he told him the words that I believe every Christian needs to hear. Not only the Apostle Paul, but even the words that you and I need to hear. For example, let me see, I want to get back if I can. Well, it's in Acts chapter 18, verses 9 through 11. In Acts 18, verses 9 through 11, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. He said, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the Word of God. The words that Paul heard, I want to suggest to us tonight, are the same words that you and I need to hear as Christians here, even in the 21st century. And number one, he tells Paul, do not be afraid. Now, like Paul, I suppose many of us, if not most of us, do fear rejection. We fear failure. I don't like to be rejected. I don't like to fail. I don't know anyone who does. We fear the unknown. We fear the unpredictable. This must be a Mac, and so therefore the things are not coming up like they're supposed to. So don't worry about the overhead right now. I can see that already taking place. As people, we oftentimes fear losing friends. We fear our families. Or some families. We fear losing family members. We fear being humiliated. We fear being made fun of before others. None of us like that or seek that. We fear being hurt emotionally, and yes, we fear being hurt physically. And I suggest to you that Paul knew all of those fears. Fears that precipitated God saying, Paul, in this situation, don't be afraid. That's why he needed to hear God say to him, Paul, do not be afraid. Do you know how many times that's used in the Bible? I actually counted them up. 77 times we find the expression, do not be afraid, in the Bible. Now, the majority of those times, it is God or Jesus telling the disciples to be faithful and to not be fearful. It's interesting that we as God's people, who ought to be the most courageous and the bravest in so many situations, are the ones that have to be told the most, don't be afraid. When Jesus walked on the water in Matthew 14, 27, he said, take courage, don't be afraid. In Revelation 1, 17 and 18, Jesus told John, do not be afraid, for I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and of Hades. How many times have you ever told your children, don't be afraid, don't be afraid? You tell them that all the time. And the reason you're doing that, you're trying to communicate to them. You're trying to say, listen, it's going to be okay. And the reason it's going to be okay is because I'm going to be right here beside you. I'm going to be right here with you. I'm not going to let anything hurt you. I will always love you. I will always protect you. Don't be afraid. And that's what God was telling the Apostle Paul. And that's what he's telling us today as well, folks. We don't have to be afraid. Now, the next thing he tells him, of course, is do not be silent. Paul was tempted to quit. In fact, he did quit preaching to the Jews, if you recall. He had earlier told them, your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility because from now on, I'm going to the Gentiles. Acts 18:6. He had just had it with them, you know. They kept rejecting him. They wouldn't believe him. And they were the ones he thought would be the most receptive. And finally says, all right, if you're not going to listen, I'm going to go to somebody else. And he did. We read about how the early Christians could not keep quiet about Jesus even while they were being persecuted. When we turn to Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, it says they preached the word wherever they went. Can you imagine that? They'd just been run out of town. Things were tough. And yet they could not keep silent about what God had done for them through Jesus Christ. Now, you and I both know it's easy to be silent when you think that no one really cares, or maybe even when we become a little bit ashamed of our faith, when you're at work or at school or with a social group and you're a little bit hesitant to talk about your faith or about church, about Jesus, because you think, well, these folks, they really don't care. And besides, I'm embarrassed. I don't want to make them uncomfortable, and I don't want them to reject me. We all share some of those experiences at times. And especially when you're encouraged and when you're tired of no one responding to your message, and then you finally conclude, well, what's the use? What's the use of doing this? And we find a number of some of our heroes in the Bible that experienced the very same emotions. Jeremiah, for example. Jeremiah wanted to quit. He said, I want to go in the hotel business, he writes, you know. And I'm tired of talking to these folks when they won't listen to me. There was Elijah who wanted to quit. Jezebel had put a price on his head and he was running for his life. And he finally ran away and hid in a cave and says, man, I don't want to do this anymore, Lord. She's trying to kill me. And then there was Jonah. And how can we not remember Jonah, who wanted to quit because God's message was just not the message that he wanted to preach. Lots of folks have tried to quit and want to quit. And yet God says, do not be silent. Don't quit. I have to confess, I've been tempted to quit. Not quit my faith, maybe just quit preaching. In fact, I'll go farther than that. I'll share with you. I did quit. After preaching for 17 years, I said, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. It's kind of like, and Larry can appreciate this, you know, preaching would be a lot of fun if it wasn't for people. Do you ever think about that? You know? And so I said, hey, this is enough. I'm not going to do this anymore. And so for a year, I didn't. I think it made me a better preacher. I didn't think I would go back into preaching. That was about 30 years ago, by the way, over 30 years ago. My wife always said she knew I would go back, and I did, and I don't regret it a bit. You know, and yet, it's people. That's why we do preach. It's people that drives me every day to get up believing that maybe today I can touch someone's heart with the good news of Jesus. I pray every morning when I'm leaving my house out on Thunder Road and driving into town in my red pickup, and I'm talking to God and say, God, bless me today that I can be a blessing to someone else. Help me find someone that I can touch with good news and reflect your spirit. And he does that just about every day. Sometimes I take full advantage of it. And then sometimes I go, oh, there he was. And I blew it. Forgive me, God. Give me another chance. But it's people that causes us to continue to serve and to minister. It's people that brings you to your faith walk with God and your daily walk with him, wherever it may be, at work or at school or on the job or on the golf course or in the fishing boat or whatever it may be. In fact, let me ask, when was the last time that you talked to someone about your faith in Jesus? You know, when Peter and John were told by the authorities not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus, they replied, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. Acts 4, verse 20. I want to adopt that attitude. Some days I think I do. Some days I think I don't. What God told Paul are the words that we must all hear. Keep on speaking, God said. Do not be silent. And those are the same words you and I must hear today. And number three, he said, do not feel alone or abandoned. You know, Paul needed to hear God say, for I am with you. I'm sure there are times when Paul must have wondered if God really was with him. God, are you really there? Have you ever had those moments in your life? For example, when Paul was alone in a cold, dark prison cell, or maybe when the fellow Christians had deserted him, as they often did, or when he was stoned and left for dead. And don't you think Paul must have asked, God, where are you? Are you still here? And the answer was always the same. I am with you, Paul. I'm still with you. Sometimes we need to hear that, don't we? When Isaiah the prophet was preaching to Israel and no one was listening and no one's responding and they were rejecting God and worshiping idols and you know, God had already warned Isaiah this was going to happen. He says, you're going to preach and preach and preach and nobody's going to respond. You don't even need any response cards, Isaiah. Nobody's going to come down the aisle, but I want you to keep on preaching anyway. And Isaiah must have struggled with that. What's the use? Why am I doing this? And God, are you really here? And that's when God would tell him in chapter 41, verse 10. He says, so do not fear, Isaiah. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed. For I am your God, and I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah needed to hear that. I need to hear that. And I know there are times you need to hear that. You know, God promises us in Hebrews 13, verse 5, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. That sort of echoes the words of Jesus, doesn't it? When he said, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. Matthew 28, verse 20. Did you ever get separated from your parents when you were a kid? I imagine some of you did. Maybe it was at the mall, or maybe it was at a ball game, or maybe it was right here at church. It's a panicky feeling when you're accompanied with when it comes around and you're just crying and running and crying and running because you're separated. And that's the parents. You know, the kids are doing it. I don't know how many times at Center Street I've seen parents running up and down. Where, have you seen my child? Have you seen my kid? I can't find him, you know. And the kid's just having a great time somewhere. But it's a panicky feeling to have that. The sensation, however, of then being reunited just really can't be described. There are no words to describe that kind of reunion. It's like this heavy weight's being lifted off from our shoulders, because now you're safe again if you're that child that's been separated. You're home again. You're together again. With God, we can never, do you hear that? Never be separated from His love and His presence. We're familiar with what Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 35. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all the day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation is going to be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a promise we can count on. He says, I'll never stop loving you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to desert you. I'll always be with you. But we need to be reminded of that on occasion. And that's what God was doing with Paul here, you see, when he said these words that we all need to hear. He says, Paul, I want you to hang in here. I want you to keep preaching. I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be silent, because I am with you. And I've still got a lot of folks in this town. And that brings us to the next point. Don't sell God short. There's no doubt that Paul was discouraged and either ready to quit or at least move on to somewhere else. You know, he'd been there a while, and they were making fun of him, and they were laughing at him, and they were rejecting him, and they were threatening his life. And he said, man, I've got to get out of here. I don't want to stay here. These people don't want to hear the gospel. These people don't want to be saved. They don't want to hear good news. I'm ready to move on. I'm through with the Jews. I'm going to preach to the Gentiles. And right now, I just want to go somewhere else. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I need a vacation. I need to go to Branson or something. You know, he just needed to get out of town and go on. And yet, God says, I want you to stay around. He had preached, he had taught, he had testified. And yet, there just wasn't much to show for it. But Paul, just like a lot of preachers, had forgot that it's not about him. Paul, this isn't about you at all. It's not about, you know, the success of your ministry. The success of your ministry, it's not determined by statistics or numbers or how many people show up to hear you. And that's still a hard lesson for most preachers and churches to learn even today. So Paul needed to hear God say, I'm not through with you yet, Paul. And I'm not through with the lost of this town. I have many people in this city. I imagine at that point, Paul wants to argue a little bit with God. Said, really? You got a lot of folks in this town? Really? Yes, Paul. Don't sell me short. You see, Paul eventually got that message, however, and Luke says that Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, and that was a pretty long time for Paul's travels and ministry and the missionary journeys he took. And there for that year and a half, he taught them the Word of God. And we learn about churches being established as a result. In his first letter to the Corinthians, he talks about how he had planted the seed, how Apollos had watered it, but it was God who made it grow. 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7. And do you know what, folks? It still works that way today. We often experience the growth of others who've come before us, who are planting and watering the seed. But it's always God who gives the increase. There are those today who are receiving the seed that others will water after us. But it's still God who's going to make it grow. We must never sell God short. God is still in control. And God doesn't always tell us what His plans are. You know, once in a while I'd like for God just to send me a text message, wouldn't you? Or send me an email or something, say, hey, this is what my plan is. This is what I got in mind. This is what I want you to do. And He doesn't always feel obligated to do that. And you see, this is where trust and faith has to take over. Trust in God to use our weaknesses and our fears to fulfill His will and to grow His church. And so I suggest these are the words that Paul heard, but the words that every Christian that I need to hear. What are those words? Well, they're don't be afraid. Be faithful. Don't be silent. Be bold. Don't feel alone. Be courageous. Don't count God out. Be trustful. The Apostle Paul heard these words, and the Scriptures tell us that many of the Corinthians believed and were baptized. Acts 18:8. Isn't that something? That's what God said would happen. I still got folks in this town, Paul. Hang in there. And they did. And when we hear these words today, folks, I believe we can expect the same. Does that make sense? Think about it. Let's pray. Almighty God of heaven and earth, hallowed be Your great and holy name. The God who loves us more than we can love ourselves. Bless us, God, that we can be a blessing to others. And help us to hear the words that Paul heard. Help us to overcome our fears and help us not to be quiet when it comes to our faith. And Father, help us to know that we're never alone, that You're always going to be there. And Father, may we never count You out. Help us to trust You even when it's hard, not just when it's easy or when we're at church, but help us to trust You during the week and when we're dealing with people that really don't care. Give us that courage and that strength and that fortitude to charge on and knowing You're going to walk every step with us. Forgive us when we fail and help us to do better tomorrow. We pray all this in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. That's all I got.